I sent you guys your recording from our live session on Monday, and I don't know if you have any comments or questions since you received the recording, or if you were present, obviously, on our meeting on Monday. I did receive some emails, but some of them, they were not specific to this week in terms of the content. Obviously, I still have your email, Lynn. I don't know if you want us to unpack it here, or if, because you and I spoke earlier and I said, if you give me till tomorrow, I'll actually put time aside to go through everything and basically just respond directly to you. I don't know if you're still okay with that, or if you want us to bring it here. Lynn, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. See, I don't mind. It's up to the other ladies, because I mean, it took up almost all of the time last week. You know, I mean, on our session.
Well, not really, but I think let give me time so that, because I do, I mean, we went through it obviously quite, I don't want to say extensively, but we did go through it quite a bit on Monday, and it's in the recording. So so maybe, as you suggest, maybe let's see if there are other people's questions that are coming through that are different, since we've already kind of unpacked it to quite an extent. If there are any questions, let's take them, and you and I will touch base tomorrow for sure. So do you guys have any questions from Monday's session? Seeing that I didn't receive any emails. See that I didn't receive any emails from you.
See, I've got a question.
Go ahead, Ellen.
I'm just wondering, I've been thinking about whether one goes and registers as a vendor at the people, at the companies where you intend to kind of proposition them.
I'm listening.
Didn't you hear me?
So, I heard. I'm wondering if your question is complete.
Yes, it is complete. So, I mean, should I go register as a vendor at the companies that I want to go and approach?
I think that's a great question. So let me give you my answer. The short answer is that I actually don't know. And I'll tell you why. Because what I'm teaching you here is based on what I've done over the 15 years. Since I've never done that, I've never registered as a vendor in order for me to partner with a corporate. So for that reason, I will say I don't know, because I don't want to lie to you and say don't do it or say do it. I've never done it. And for that reason, I really don't know what the answer is, but I do have an opinion, and maybe I can also give you an opinion, of course, on the back of the disclaimer that I don't know what the answer is to that. My opinion is that as a partner, and I've seen this with the companies I've partnered with, what I've realized with, again, based on my own experience, is that I've been treated in what I felt was a bit different when I was a partner than what I observed to be a treatment of vendors, you know. And I'll give an example. There was a company some years ago, a big one, where I partnered with them. And there was another company that was a vendor that was proposing something to them. And this company was a vendor. Was in their books and everything. I was the one who was being asked to give an opinion on what these guys were proposing, on whether this company, on whether I thought this company could benefit from what was being proposed, and this is somebody they had done business with long before I came along. So that's just one example. But my general sense is that when you're a partner, you've got your own kind of status in terms of, because remember, you're dealing with people here, and the people you're dealing with in their relationship with you, because if you think about what we are teaching in this program, we are teaching you to think about what's in their best interest, what's good for them. And usually when we go to propose ideas to companies, these are things that they're not actively out kind of tendering for or asking people to submit proposals on. These are just brand new ideas that we've appraised and evaluated and concluded that they would align with what these companies are trying to do. So by virtue of coming along as that type of person, you are already separated from the crowd, the masses. In this case, I would say vendors, because they are a certain crowd of big and small companies that are treated in a certain way. But when you come along as a partner, they treat you the way they would treat another corporate partner or another corporate that partners with them. So for me, my opinion, since this is an opinion, is something that I wouldn't do. I wouldn't want to go backwards, if you like, to be treated like everybody else when I could just be special and be treated as a partner. Because whatever department I'm partnering with, they already have objectives that they're trying to fulfill. Vendors are just called to supply or deliver specific services that are predetermined by the company, that's what we need. But a partner, in the way we do it, is somebody who comes along to say, hey guys, I've got an idea here. I know this is what you're trying to do, X, Y, and Z, but here's something that I think could help you. If they're not already doing something, obviously, it's in that line, you still have, because you've done your research, you still have a reason to show them what you've got, that what you've got is something that will add value in whichever way. So again, I don't want to keep repeating myself. I wouldn't do it personally.
So that raises another question then, Sia. Can one then assume that your relationship with that corporate would be governed by a partnership agreement, and that would include the likes of payment terms and all of those kind of things? Because I'm just worried about getting paid.
That's a very good thing to be worried about, Lynn. So, great question. So my answer to that is yes, your relationship with the company will be governed by a partnership agreement. And in terms of payment, again, every company then will, this is where I've observed some difference. Some companies would just say, just send us an invoice for this, and I'm talking about large corporations here, just send us an invoice and we'll process that. And they would handle it and it gets paid. One company did ask me, after we've agreed on how we're going to work together, did ask me, because of payment, to say, hey, we follow this process in terms of payments. Can you please fill in these forms, which were like vendor forms? But at this stage, we already had an agreement in place. We had a partnership. I was still special, if that makes sense. Purely for administrative reasons, payment in particular, they asked me to just fill in their forms, which I gladly did. But okay. I wouldn't start there. I wouldn't start at that vendor level. In fact, two companies did that. It was Sokosan and Alexander Forbes. Alexander Forbes, part of our deal was they were buying books. So procurement, they have the whole procurement process where I had to fill in the forms and stuff, and I became a vendor again. Again, it was purely for payment purposes.
Mm.
But the partnership was concluded with the CEO right at the top. So everybody else was just running around to make sure that they don't, nothing goes wrong when it comes to me getting paid and whatever. So they were just ticking the boxes, but the deal was done right at the top. Again, I didn't come through the vendor door, which is really what I guess I'm trying to kind of discourage from you guys.
Okay, so does that mean we engage with the person right on top and we'd also be special?
My experience has been that, and I'd like to think that, so I would hope that, I mean, this one, we are on week 3 now. I know that it's still early days, but I'm hoping that you are already getting that sense that if we take this approach, it is different.
Mm.
Is that your sense at least? You can say no, by the way. So, but I just want to, I mean, that the question that you asked, my answer starts with that I'm hoping that so far from just what we've covered, I'm hoping that you can see how this in many ways makes you different to the ordinary or the masses and how they approach these corporates.
Okay.
No, not sure. Okay. No, I'll take that as a no. Okay. But what is your question then, Lynn?
No, mine was just around, I mean, at the end of the day, I want to get paid for this. Then this mustn't be in vain. So, but I tend to agree with you in my experience, especially when it comes to partnership proposals. I recently had one with one of the mines in the Northern Cape. And they only after they sign the deal do they start asking questions about, you know, your BE certificate and your complete the vendor application and so on and so forth. So yeah.
Look, every company is really different. And so far, I'm sure you've also heard so what we've covered so far. I haven't used the word proposal at all. There's a reason why, in fact, I don't use that word anywhere within this program, the word proposal, because that's not what I advocate for. That's why we start with the letter that we are busy working on this week, which leads us to a discussion, because what we're going for is a conversation rather than an upfront proposal to companies with details. In fact, if you remember on Monday when we were unpacking your email, there were certain details that I said, let's remove these because that's beyond the scope of where we are starting with this relationship with the company. So I don't talk at all about proposals because I don't advocate for that route. I've never, all the partnerships I've done with great success, I never went the proposal route, and all the problems I've had with corporates started with proposals, interestingly. So even my clients now who are following what I'm teaching you guys, who are actually closing deals, even with retailers. I mean, if you think about retailers, they've got all of these stringent processes. It's unheard of that a small business would write an email to a retailer, get a meeting, go sit down with them, and within that one meeting, they get an agreement. It's unheard of, you know? And I understand why it works, because that's this approach, what I'm teaching you guys, is what I've been doing, and it's been working like magic, you know, because I also don't like meetings that never end, you know, meeting after meeting after meeting, when you could guide people whom you are negotiating with, particularly if they are decision makers, where you could guide them to a decision. And a decision can be yes or no, which is basically what I suggested on week 1. That a decision is is a yes or a no. So, yep.
Afternoon, everyone. So, yeah, if I may, just a follow-up to Lynn's question or clarity she thought. For me, I've gained value from week 1, 2, 3, but I must admit, as I go through it, I'm like, okay, how do I ensure that I don't go and speak to, for lack of a better word, people who will give me the turnaround and meeting after meeting after meeting? I'm still not sure that a CEO or an executive at week 3 would listen to me. I know we won't pitch at level 3 or at week 3, but I still don't get that sense. I'm not sure if I'm making sense. I know I'm going off a tangent.
Please try again, Andrina, so that I can at least answer from a
point how of how let me just speak from a point of where you based on experience. How have you made sure that the people you engage with are the right people, one, and two, that they actually do listen to you? Because how did you make sure that when you go to this particular company, this person will be the ideal person, as opposed to writing from the lower level to the upper level?
Let me try based on what I think I understand your question to be. I think that probably let's break it into
this
question so that we can tackle it one bit at a time. Let's start with how do you make sure you write to the right person?
You wanted
to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to maybe give an example. Sorry, guys, it's been a long day, so English is running away like nobody's business. So say, for example, I want to write to, let's say, F&B. How do I make sure that the person I write to at F&B is the correct person? Because when I go to F&B's website, for example, they will give me generic contact details, or for example, head of this, head of this. But one, how do I even make sure that that person is the right person and they would take the idea forward, and if they're not just there purely because of it's their job and there's no decision-making power? And then they might give me a meeting and be like, okay, we'll talk to you, and then nothing. I think maybe I'm coming from a point of being a bit skeptic in terms of maybe you just got lucky speaking to the right people at the right time and you got the cream de la cream in the form of CEOs. I still don't see that for myself. I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
No, you are. And this is a very interesting question. I like the fact that you're saying you don't see it for yourself, because I think that's a very important thing for anything that a person is learning. And I'm glad that you said this, because nobody has ever said this. But I'm sure in some cases and in certain things, there are things that people learn that they think, I can't do this. Maybe other people can do it. And I think that's a very important part of learning anything, because it's important for somebody to get themselves, because you can only teach people to a point, but it's also important for them to believe that this is something they can do. So I'm hoping that if that's not where you are yet, it's as we go, you will gain that confidence in your ability to communicate your ideas based on what you've learned, obviously, by following a process where you feel, I can do this. Because nothing happens until somebody gets to that point of, I think I can do this. Because we all start from a place where we think, oh, but maybe some people can. Oh, maybe I can. Like what you just said, that maybe I was lucky. I must be a very lucky man if I can be lucky for 15 years with close to 40 companies where I've gotten deals over 15 years. I must be one lucky guy. So I'll take that. Maybe I'm just lucky. But coming back to your question, If you look at week two, I don't know if somebody in the group wants to answer your question. How do you know you're talking to the right person? Because this is something we have talked about. If you look at week two, before we write anything, before we write to anybody, we start with what I call the partnership thinking plan. Do you remember?
I remember those five steps.
Let's just go through that and just look at what we're trying to establish. The first thing we want to establish is your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we just write to companies by going to their website and see who they say info at, and then you just write to that, I mean, the chances of success, I mean, they're low, because there's no focus in that, there's no targeting in that, and there's no context. Because info, who does that go to? So the whole thing of in their website, they give us this email address and whatever. I'm glad that's not what we teach here. But let's look at what the partnership thinking plan, what it does in terms of your planning. We start with the goal. What is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? So what is this trying to establish in the process? Because everything starts with us or with you, right? It starts with where we are. It doesn't start with the company. It starts with us. This is a project that I have, or this is an idea that I have, and my goal, this is what I want to accomplish. I want to accomplish that outcome, right? So that's what my goal is. Please stay on the line, Andrina, because I want to make sure that we are on the same page, if it's possible.
I'm definitely on the line. I'm on the line. I'm just muting myself with the background noise, but I'm listening.
Okay, cool. But if, because I wanna check with you that we at every step we are together here. So we start with. Oh, by the way, everybody, as you guys know, everybody's at home right now. The kids are in the background, so please forgive Andrina if there are kids in the background. It's, you know, that's just how things are. I'm sure we all understand. So don't worry too much about it. Okay, yeah. So we start with the goal, right? What are we trying to accomplish? So we become clear what our goal is. The next thing we want to then look at is what resources? Why don't you just do it? Because that becomes the question. Oh, my goal is that. Then the question becomes, so why don't you do it, right? And then the answer becomes, well, there are resources I need in order for me to move this from where it is now to where I want it to be, correct?
Okay.
So the next step becomes resources. So what resources do you need to accomplish your goal that a partner can help you with? Now we are introducing a partner, because anybody, you know, can say, well, these are the resources I don't have. But now we're saying that a partner can help you with. So we write that down, as I'm sure you've done when you were doing your exercise.
Yes.
And the next thing is, now that you know what resources you need, that a partner can assist you with, then you ask yourself, who would be an ideal partner? And why? You know, somebody could say, well, F&B, since you mentioned them, I'm gonna use them. So F&B, right? They're a bank. If that doesn't align with what you're trying to do, you say because they are a bank and there's money in the bank, that's not a very strong reason to choose them as a partner when what you need possibly is something you could be getting from Vodacom. Maybe it's a resource, maybe it's a tool, maybe it's access, maybe it's access to clients, since we used that in one of our, I think about a week or two ago, in one of the Q&As where we talked about, you know, corporates putting you in front of their clients. So it really does depend on what do you need. And then the question becomes, who would be an ideal partner and why? Right? So far we're together, right?
Yes, we are, definitely.
And then from there, after we've identified our partner or an ideal partner, and we've got valid reasons for wanting them as a partner, what do we do next? We do research. What is the context of your approach? Because if you're going to be reaching out to them, there are three questions that they are asking themselves. Who are you? Why are you contacting us? And why are you contacting us? Or let me rephrase. Who are you? Why are you contacting me? Because if you send an email, it goes to a person. It doesn't go to the whole company. The person receives this on their inbox, and then they're saying, who's this? Who's Hendrina? Why is Hendrina contacting me? And why is Hendrina contacting me specifically? So when they read your email, they obviously get your name because it's right there. They get the gist of why you are, what you are about. And then the key question is, why me specifically? And that's what your research does for you. That's when you go and find out who, if you are approaching this company about this particular idea, who would be the right person to talk to about this? Is it the security guard at the gate? Is it the receptionist? Is it the head of risk management? So you determine that as part of in your research. Who would be the right person? And because based on the context of your outreach, right? And in that process, when you do that research, that's when you identify, you narrow down, because sometimes it could be more than one person. It could be more than one person. I mean, let's look at Lynn's letter on Monday. It was about what the green net banks, I forgot what that was about, Lynn, but something relating to, you know, their whole theme around going green and them, you know, sponsoring WWF. She knows who heads that fund. And she identified that. She did that research. That's the only way she knew that, because she went and did the research. Who's the head of this? Because she knew who her approach was relevant to. Because that's what research does. You take what you have and you ask yourself questions. Who would be the right person for this? And then you go find, you do a bit of research to find out who's the person around that. Another thing that Lynn found, if we remember on Monday, was on the WWF side, not only did she find the name of the person, she also found what they have been saying publicly in their press releases, which gave the right context for her to propose what she's proposing, because she's saying, hey, you, Miss So-and-so, Tatiana, this is something that you said around you guys helping entrepreneurs because you believe that they bring innovation in the space, blah, 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 blah. That all forms part of the context. So it's very important to contact the right person. There's no question about it. It's also very important to just do a bit of search to see, have they said anything in the media? Just go to Google and just go to news and see if, and put the name of this company. Have they been in the news lately? You know, and what is Vodacom saying about small businesses? You will find these articles and you will find people being quoted from Vodacom. Then the next thing is, okay, so this guy is the head of, you know, Vodacom business, let's just say. He's the head of Vodacom business. This is what he's saying. They wanna increase their drive towards signing, you know, small businesses as clients. They've got packages for this market, blah, blah, blah. But then you also want to know, is he still there? Because it's pointless quoting somebody who said something in 2010 when he left Vodacom and joined SAA or another company. So you also want to check that. Is he still there? Because if I'm going to write to that person, to her, and I say, well, this is what you said, and then she's not there, then it defeats the whole thing. So you basically do just those basic checks, right? Because you want your idea to be aligned with what's important to them, to what they believe, more and even better, to what they're saying. Okay. And then after you've done your research, then now you are confident that you've got a good idea. You believe that this idea can add value to them, whether in terms of their business, or in the case of, let's say, Lynn and NetBank, it's not only about their business, it's also supporting something they already support, because they're already putting money in supporting environmental sustainability and all that. So this is not only about their bottom line, that they'll get clients who are small business owners by partnering with Lynn, but this will also advance the work they are doing. Let's call it CSI, for the lack of a better word. So it will also advance what they believe, what they are projecting themselves as a different bank, because, you know, we are going green, we are supporting green projects. If it was Standard Bank, for instance, maybe something that helps musicians. Let's just use that as an example. Well, maybe something that helps musicians, right? And then we say, Standard Bank supports the joy of jazz. I've got something here that helps, that is good for musicians, particularly up and coming, let's say, artists who are not yet recording artists, blah, 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 blah. Then you say to Standard Bank, hey guys, since you are big on, you know, on the development of jazz music, I've got this thing which aligns perfectly with what you guys believe, and I'd like us to have a conversation around that. So another thing I want to emphasize, it's not about reaching out to the CEO, because in some cases, the best person to talk to is not the CEO, which is what you get when you do that research. For instance, if it were, I'll use the example of up-and-coming jazz musicians, then you would say, who's the contact person on let's say Joy of Jazz? So what would I do with that? I would go on the internet and say Standard Bank Joy of Jazz, and see what articles come up for that. And who's been quoted from Standard Bank saying, well, as Standard Bank, we've been supporting the Joy of Jazz for the last 15 years. We believe, this is what we believe, blah, 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 blah. But more importantly, you get the name of that person. And then you say, is this lady still there? Who has taken over from her if this person is no longer there? But if that person is there, you write to them. You say, hey, I see that, you know, on such and such a day, you were quoted in Business Day saying this and this and that. And I think I've got something here that that you may find interesting. It's a conversation. You are just writing to a human being. So this belief that, you know, CEOs and these executives are, these are ordinary people. And I think sometimes the biggest mistake people make is not to write to people like they are people, meaning like the author is a person, okay? People want to be spoken to the way we speak to people. Sometimes we lose people when we try, you know, to write in this kind of corporate way. People just want to read an email from a human, you know? So that's why you will see me over the next 3 weeks, a lot of what I'm going to be sharing with you is conversational. Because they are just like us. In the morning, they get in their car after they've done everything that all of us do in the morning after we get out of bed. They get in their car. They drive to work. They're stuck in traffic. They're talking to themselves. I assume everybody does that. They're talking to themselves. You know, they're worried about this and that and all the things they are not able to do today because they're so busy. And that meeting they don't want to go to. They're just like us. And they're not married to the company. Next week, they'll get an offer from another company and they'll leave this place, okay? And they'll leave this place. So they're not the company. They are just like us. They've got a job. But they still want to read something interesting that is written by a human being. So So we need to first accept that we are just talking to ordinary folks, you know, and it's important for them that they do well in their roles at work, because they've got a job to do. They've got KPIs that, you know, that they have to meet. So the thing, when we bring people ideas, they also look at them, not only just from a company's point of view, our company, they also look at them, would I look good if I could do this within the company? If I could partner with this person, if I could take this idea that has been brought, would it make me look good? Not only would it make the company look good, but would it make me look good? Because I want my boss to say, wow, that was a great project you took on. I'm glad we were the ones to take on this project. So they're human. So as we look at them, let's not get too caught up on who would they respond to me. Some people will not respond to you. They will not respond to me. They will not respond to other people, but they will respond to somebody else. So when you, also in the question, how do you ensure that they respond? You can't, because they are who they are, and they will do what they will do, because they are somebody else. Yours is to do the best you can that with what is within your control. You can't control anybody's response. The same way you cannot control a child's response, because they respond the way they want to respond, okay? Because they are their own human being. So it's the same thing. Everybody has free will. That's why for me, on week one, I said to you guys, yes or no. And I was not gonna come here and say you're gonna get a yes, because that would be a lie. That would be unrealistic, because that's not how life works. You're gonna get a yes, you're gonna get a no. One of those two. And you gotta accept that, because our whole lives, we've been getting yeses and nos. But what I wanted to manage by bringing it up early, I wanted you to manage your emotions, because the problem I see most of the time, what holds us back as people, is that because we are so scared of hearing a no, we take too long to take action. Because we want a guarantee. We want a guarantee that this, they better say yes. So what I said to you guys was, it doesn't matter what they say, because it's not gonna change how valuable you are. You're not needy. You don't need their validation. What you are doing here is you've got an idea. You believe it can be mutually beneficial, but they also have a say on the matter. They may disagree with that point of view, but what does that mean? Does that make your idea wrong? I don't think so, because the next person, even in court, you know, since I'm talking to a lawyer, even in court, they will say a different judge may come to a different conclusion. Same set of facts.
Yeah.
Same set of facts. One person will conclude the one way, another person will conclude differently. That's life. So we're not worried about that. Yes, we want people to say yes, but we're not attached to other people's opinions of what we are trying to communicate. As long as we are satisfied that this has value. How many times, I mean, do you hear people saying, my idea was rejected by so many investors, and then somebody else invested in that company. The company became a $1 billion company. And the people that said, no, it's not gonna work, they kicked themselves because they said, gee, I missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
So people have their own free will to decide whatever they want to decide. Ours is to manage our own emotions, so that we don't fall apart. If somebody says no, we say, oh, well, okay, your loss. We move on. So you do your part. My job is to prepare you to do your part and be confident that you did your part, and let them do their part.
Yeah.
I think the analogy I gave, if I remember, I may be wrong, but I think when I was talking to Lynn about this, I may have used, I think I used the analogy of a boxing trainer, because I love sport. I said, you know, as a boxing trainer, if your boxer has an upcoming boxing match, your job as the trainer is to train your boxer in the gym, give your boxer the best, you know, boxing, you know, tactics, best moves, best ways to defend himself or herself, best ways to punch. And then the night comes when he or she has to go face the opponent. Remember, the opponent was doing the same. Okay. The opponent was also training, preparing for the same fight. So as the trainer, you send your boxer knowing that I did everything within my power to prepare my boxer, and you let the boxer do what the boxer has to do. So some of these things, and I do understand, like, maybe the anxiety that maybe you may be feeling around this, but some of these things, they're just like a boxing match where the boxer has to get in the ring, okay, and actually feel the opponent's punches, or deal with the opponent, how the opponent moves and how the opponent defends themselves. And that's just the way life is, and that's how business is. Ours is to, you've done your part because you are here. My job and the rest of the group, we are here to prepare each other so that when you go out there, you don't go out there blind. You don't go out there without, you know, without clarity in terms of what the strategy is. But you're not responsible for how somebody else is going to respond to your approach, definitely. That's their decision to make. It could cost them. It could be the right decision for them. We don't know. That's a very long answer, but I
think but it was really helpful. Yeah, and I think Salima in Monday's session, because I could kind of relate to some of the stuff she said in terms of no's and so. So I was just doing a bit of reflection. And I think this actually helped. Obviously, not having done it, and I don't want to lie, post Monday's conversation, I was wondering, and I'm sorry, guys, it feels like I'm hijacking the whole session. Sorry for that. So post Monday's thing, I was like, okay, was this a bit too premature? Should I have done a bit more research? Because it looked like I'm literally at infant stages, but this helped me now. Just do it, and life goes on. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Great. Sorry, but guys, that was a very good question, by the way, Andrina. It was very good because it speaks to the mindset, you know, because our biggest challenge in everything that we do is our own minds, because our minds are constantly talking to us. Okay. So I'm so glad you asked this question, because it speaks to those invisible things, those intangibles that sometimes can hold us back one more week, one more day, one more year, sometimes years. How many times do we say, I want to do this, I want to do this, and we don't do it because we say, I'm not ready. I don't think I'm ready. What if it doesn't work? Oh my God, you know. So, but thank you so much for that question.
Okay, thanks a lot. And then, last one. Would you say would you say if week two is done right, with the right amount of time, and you invest properly in those six steps of week two, that it will be free flow for the remainder of the weeks, and the baseline is week two and that information or those six steps that we need to do? So if that is done right, the next week's following would be easier because it will blend into week two.
I love this question. So I'll give you the right answer. The right answer is, I really don't know. You know why? Because I could say it will be, but that would be just me. And everybody's experience will be based on the people. Because let me explain what I mean, just so that you don't think I'm being silly. But here's the thing. Some people, let's say, maybe they don't find it difficult to write an email or to reach out to somebody. But the moment somebody says, let's meet, for somebody else, that may be their undoing, because they're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what, meetings, I'm just too scared to meet people, right? So it depends. It really, really does. I'd like to think that all of this is actually not, again, this is just me talking, right? I'd like to think that all of it is actually not really that difficult once you get the hang of it. Let me qualify it by saying, once you get the hang of it, because at the beginning, it may, if you're completely new to all of this, it may be like, oh, gee, you know, whoa, this is hectic. But somebody who, let's say, have been doing deals, like I've had a lot of people saying to me, you know, Sia, I've been wondering why my deals haven't been working. And after I've gone through your material, I now see what I've been doing wrong. So for that person, it just gave clarity. It just brought the answers that they had questions and they just didn't have answers. So the program literally just answered their questions. But somebody who hasn't really done this, it may be a bit overwhelming and it could be different parts of it. But I think once you get the hang of it and you actually see how it all comes together, my hope is that it feels like it becomes second nature. But I would like to believe that maybe it gets easier as we go. Okay, because I don't want to say it will get more difficult, because I don't want to scare anybody. But I'd like to think, in fact, what is coming up in the program from next week is actually what I would say possibly my favorite part, because this is where now you've sent the email, you've gotten the response, hopefully the response that you were hoping for, where they're curious, they're interested, they want to hear more from you. And then the meeting. You know, I love that section where we talk about the meeting. How do we handle meetings? Because I've seen a lot of people messing the step up, you know, even though they probably didn't even know how to write to somebody in the first place. Maybe they got lucky, they got the meeting. They go to the meeting with their laptop and they plug it in. They say, can I present my PowerPoint presentation for you guys? And, you know, they start, of course, with the mandatory, we are 100% BEE company, blah, blah, blah. In our case, of course, since it's 100% women group, this one, we say it's 100% women owned, you know, the mandatory, you know, start, right? They start with that and then they dazzle their audience with their presentation. And then, of course, right at the end, they end it with the mandatory, do you guys have any questions? And then the room is, you know, silent, and they get all the smiles from around the boardroom table while they're standing there in front of the white screen, you know, they finish their presentation with that final slide that says the end, and then that says questions with a question mark, and they're waiting for somebody to ask a question. You know, if there's someone polite in the room, they ask some question just, you know, to break the awkwardness. Or in some cases, everybody says, no questions. Thank you so much. And they say that as they look up from playing with their phones, because the whole time they were just playing on their cell phones, nobody was listening to this presentation because the presenter lost them on the second slide. So those are some of the things. It's one of my favorite areas because a lot of people don't know have never been taught how to take charge of meetings the way I'm going to be teaching you. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping it will be easier and probably fun, but I also don't want to overhype it so that you guys don't look forward to it and you're like, oh, but yes, this one can be fun. So it's just my favorite part. It may not be yours. So yeah, Hendrina, that's my safe answer to you.
Okay, thank you, Sia. I'm done. Apologies everyone for hijacking the questions.
Don't sweat it. Awesome, thank you, Hendrina. I enjoyed this this participation. Like I always say, guys, I must always remind you, your questions enrich this program. They do, because remember, everything I'm teaching is from one man's perspective. you know, who's been, you know, following his process for 15 years, but it's your questions. And there's no bad question or not so smart question, because every question, it forces an answer that hopefully, you know, takes us, moves us one step forward. So I really, really appreciate your questions. They are sometimes hard to answer, but I still appreciate them. Okay. Salima, thank you so much, Hendrina.
Hi, Sia and Salima. Hi, sorry,
you've been looking for me the whole day today. You've been looking for me the whole day today.
And yesterday.
And I'm sorry I haven't been able to talk to you because I've been in meeting. Can you believe it?
Oh, I see.
Back in meetings all day. And if I don't have an appointment, you know, a lot of these calls, they go unanswered, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. No problem.
WhatsApps do get my response when I do, you know, get an opportunity to do so. So I'm sorry you couldn't get hold
of me. That's fine.
No problem. Yeah, we are.
So I've actually been a bit overwhelmed, I must say, because I have my idea of what I want to do. And I've been doing the research, like you said, about going through the 6 steps of lesson number 2. Mm. And in doing that research, I actually started feeling more and more overwhelmed, because it was like looking for a corporate and then reading what they're about. And sometimes I actually started feeling like I'm moving away from what is my goal and just trying to fit in with them, so that I'm creating this email that needed to be in by today or whatever. And then I realized, no, hold on. It's just that feeling of overwhelmingness by not finding the company that fits in with what is it that I really want to do. Because the idea here is that to do something that you already know what you want to do, and to find that corporate partner that can work with you to get that thing right. And it's also finding the right language. So I found a company, and they bought over Caltex. I'm not sure if you know what I'm talking about.
No. If you don't mind, if you don't mind sharing, please, I'd love to hear.
Just trying to find the name here now again quickly.
Great. But,
I was looking at gold mining companies in the beginning, and then I moved on to other companies, and one of them was this. It's also a mining company, but they bought over Caltex. Glencore.
They're actually the largest gold. They're the largest mining company on earth.
Not Goldfields. I thought Goldfields is the largest.
No.
Well, anyway. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I was actually researching them, and then I saw something that said that they're also into agricultural or agribusiness. And then I got excited, because I thought, well, this like kind of fits in with what I'm thinking. And their marketing wording was exactly fitting in with what I'm looking to do.
No ways.
But then when I looked at it further, the type of product lines that they're looking for and what I'm wanting to do is not the same.
Uh-huh.
And so this is where my whole unsettledness has come, because now it's like, first of all, finding the right kind of partner that's talking your kind of language. Mm. And secondly, it's also now must I fit in with their kind of product line to be able to partner with them. So they're looking for maize, and I'm looking for lettuce, and I'm looking to do lettuce. That's the difference.
This is good. I like this question. But before we go into it, for the benefit of somebody who's very forgetful like myself, and everybody on this call who may actually who may have some ideas for you. Because remember, guys, these calls, the reason why everybody is here is so that we can also chip in, right? So by all means, when these questions are asked, as much as I'm kind of sitting in front of this group, but the truth is, any of us can answer these questions. So by all means, don't feel, if you want to chip in on any of the questions that I'm being asked, and let's say you've got an idea or some advice for somebody within our group, please, I encourage you to speak up and contribute. Okay, so with that as a background, can you remind us, Salima, what your idea is?
My whole thing is that I've been wanting for many years to have a hydroponic system where I can grow leafy green vegetables or anything else that I could grow on a large scale that I could actually, to a certain level, even export. So
let's talk about large scale. What is large scale to you?
Maybe
when you think of it, what are we talking here?
Well, if we're talking about exporting, it means that you need to have quite a bit of space to be able to do that. As in, it may not have to be a farm. It could be even a warehouse that we could work from. But we have to produce a lot of whatever we're doing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that company is actually looking for maize, which is something that you can't grow hydroponically. Maize needs to grow on these huge farms and things like that. So that doesn't fit in with what is it that I want to do.
Good.
And
so
that's the thing. That's what I'm stuck at the moment.
Okay. I've got a comment on this, and I also have a question.
Okay.
So before I get to my comment, let me start with the question. Why are you going after mining companies?
Because I believe that they do have the capacity to finance something that could, or they could, they do have the capacity to be able to do a project that is large.
They've got money.
They've got money, basically.
What else?
It could fit in with their social responsibility program. I think so, but I'm not only looking at that. I'm looking at a commercial kind of activity with them. So that's
what I mean by when you say kind of commercial activity with them. What do you mean? Is it, if I'm understanding you correctly, you do want to work with mining companies, right?
Yes.
You want to work with mining companies, and you also happen to have this great idea.
Yes.
Okay.
So the thing is that they've got the resources, including the clients, that would want what we have to do.
When you say clients, what do you mean?
Well, they've got international networking systems already available, and the marketing channels and the distribution channels for everything. So for them, would be so easy.
Interesting, yeah? And why not, actually? Why not go to them? I remember somebody, I don't know if it was a movie or someone was telling the story, when they asked the guy, why did you rob the bank? And he said, well, that's where the money is. So who else? Where else can you go? Now I hear you. Okay. Is there anything else about mining companies specifically that ties them to your hydro, again, that tongue twisting. Hydro, is it polic? P-O-L-I?
Hydroponic. P-O-N-I-C, yeah, hydroponic.
Ah, hydroponic, okay.
Yeah.
So So is there anything else apart from their money, their networks, and the fact that you would like to work with them? But is there anything about the mining sector that ties that sector to either agriculture? I don't want to just limit it to hydroponic. Let's broaden it.
Yes.
Let's say that ties them to agriculture, to, you know, crop farming, whatever form, and of course, more specifically, hydroponic farming, and even more specifically, lettuce. Is there anything else other than what we've already covered that makes them an ideal candidate? Just generally?
I think it would be the SFI, because it would create work for impoverished people. It would create work for them. And I think Gold Fields is already doing that in Ghana. They already have supplied agricultural inputs and whatever to certain people to help them to get their foods, a food growing system available for local community. But that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a commercial activity.
So, okay. I think now we've identified the partner. Let's just take parts of our thinking plan so that we don't take too much time from everybody. Yeah. You and I, remember, I'm not gonna leave you. I'm gonna walk this journey with you.
Thank you.
But let's quickly try to answer some of our questions just by looking at our partnership thinking plan.
Yes.
So what resources do you need to accomplish your goal for this commercial hydroponic operation?
We need land, or we need a warehouse, and we need the hydroponic system, which you can buy, and then the plants that go with it, and we need people to work there. To manage the place, I mean, to manage the systems, and I would be the CEO of that company, by the way.
I like part of that.
And we would need a sales team and an admin team, an operations team, and then also the exporting team. So it's a whole host of kind of people that could be employed in this place.
All right. No, I hear you. I hear you. Ask for the world or nothing, right? That's what we said, remember? Yeah. Ask for the world or nothing. Okay. So it sounds to me that because of the scale that you want to do this, it may be helpful to break this project. Because this is a whole company, basically. This is a whole business. Basically, what you just described is basically the business. Yes. So I think it may actually be helpful to look at creating projects within this. Can I use an example?
Yes.
So let's take Gold Fields, right? You said in Ghana, there's something that they're doing there that benefits the community.
Yes,
this is not your main goal, but in our conversation somewhere, you did mention that by partnering with you, there is an element of, you know, corporate social benefit. Basically, there is a benefit that could go to impoverished, to use the word, to impoverished communities where, let's say, a lot of these miners come from, and these mining towns in some case. So let's look at the Ghana project. What if, as one of the micro projects within this massive idea, we say, okay, you know what? To get the foot in the door, we will replicate, or we will use the Ghana, what Gold Fields is doing in Ghana, to say, hey guys, because you're already doing this in Ghana and these are the benefits, here's what I'm doing and it could have these benefits to these communities. Would you guys be open to partnering with me for a year? Let's pilot this in a small scale. Partner with me for a year or two or four or five, and let us see. And these are the benefits I think you will get. This is why this is good for you. This is why this is good for the community, blah, 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 blah. And get them to say, sure, why not? Let's get it started. That's step one. Yes, we're building a large global conglomerate, yeah, that is going to export letters everywhere. But we got to start. We got to start somewhere. And then get that going. Because like you said, these guys have money, which means if this thing works and we've got a relationship already with them, they are happy with what's going on, they are now our friends. Now we come back to ask for more money. It's a lot easier to take that approach than to say, we're building a global conglomerate. I need $1 billion. Thank you very much, because we need an operations team and a sales team and a global, we need all of the things, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to say, let's do this. These are the benefits. It's something you're already doing somewhere else. And the benefits are similar or different in this way, in that way. And then they say, sure. Because it's a lot easier later on, if they are happy with the relationship, for them to say, for you to come back and say, let's scale this thing. Let's look at other communities. Your goal is, as we said, is not just the communities, but what this is doing now, it's helping you build your business. In this process, you are making a bit of money from this, which what you do with it, you reinvest on the commercial side of your venture. By the way, to you, but just so I'm clear to everybody in the call, on this call, even if something is CSI, it's CSI for the corporate. You still make money. So even if it's a CSI project, you still get paid. So to you, it's always commercial. So to you, it could be, you could have a whole business built on CSI. You still get paid. You still make profit. But you are the conduit that delivers the benefit to the beneficiary, the community. But the corporate, the money comes from the corporate, it comes to you. I mean, think about it. If a corporate wants to donate shoes, let's just say, they want to donate shoes. They'll put up, let's say, 20 million rand to buy shoes for children in disadvantaged communities. Where do you think the 20 million will go? It will go to companies that sell shoes. You know, they're going to be smiling all the way to the bank because they're making profit selling shoes. And the budget is a CSI budget from the corporate that took out the money. But the company, like the shop that sells shoes, is not CSI to them. It's business. And then the kids, they get the shoes. So it's the same thing with your operation. If you do partner with Goldfields, it comes from their CSI or wherever it comes from. But to you, you get paid for your, it's a commercial venture for you. So you are making money and you are continuing to grow your business. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. But you've actually made the dots fit, like from what I said, what they're doing somewhere else. And how we can put it in the words in our email.
Awesome.
Yes. So,
that's what I meant. That's what I always, when I say context, now this becomes that context to say, hey guys, you're doing this, you know, and I thought this, and you bring what you think with what they're doing, and there's a fit, right? But one other thing I wanted to say to you, Salima, is that your project actually, it can be broad in terms of who your partners could be. This could be broad, way broader. I'm sure you've thought about that. It can be way broader, obviously, than just the mining industry, because the benefits around this, the benefits around this, any company, for instance, that has a CSI can benefit from this. Yes. Any company in the food industry can benefit from this. Any company in the agricultural space can benefit from this. For instance, your hydroponic system, right? That whole thing can be sponsored. You know, whatever that is, whatever that equipment is, that thing can be sponsored, because you could reach out to companies that manufacture the system and say, "Hey guys, we've got this project. You know, we're launching this thing. We want to really popularize the idea of hydroponic system. Why don't you partner with us so that we will even make videos on our project so that people can actually see that this is something they can do, even though that's not your goal. Remember, your goal is not to teach the world how to do this, but nothing wrong with you saying we will almost do like a documentary. And I know that may sound expensive. It doesn't have to be. It could be done with a cell phone, where you showcase this equipment and you always give credit to the company that sponsored you. That's how you find that you can get equipment, just by offering them something along those lines. You could get seeds for your lettuce from a seed manufacturer, right? And say to them, "Hey guys, I know that the seeds that you guys sell, they are usually planted on horizontal ground. Why do I think hydroponics is that thing that goes up?"
It is that thing that goes up.
Then I'm not completely off the mark. So you could, let's say, go to seeds, companies that make seeds and say, "Hey guys, a lot of people don't know that they could use your seeds when they have a hydroponic system against their wall, blah, 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 blah. They just think if you buy seeds, you just throw them in the ground. Why don't we promote the idea of using your seeds, because they are the best seeds for hydroponic kind of setups," right? So this is how me doing what I'm doing, the way I'm doing it, this is how this can also be of benefit to you. Would you guys like to give me 10,000 rand worth of seeds? Right? That's nothing to them. They'll be like, "Oh yeah, sure. 10,000 rand worth of seeds. Now you've got your seeds." So all of these things that we think we need money for, we could actually break them up into smaller projects that one can actually do partnerships around. Does that help?
Definitely. Yes, I see what you're saying. I see now the pattern of what you're saying, how we need to see exactly what we need and how to find and connect with the appropriate industries or companies that could provide us with that as a donation or a partnership in some way.
I wouldn't even go with the whole donation route, but I know you didn't mean to say it that way. But because here's what I'm trying to make sure we get right in the program. We never want to come across as needy at any stage. We want to be respected partners who actually have value to bring to these partnerships. So when we start saying donations, people start thinking, another charity case type thing, right? Yes. And we don't want to be that, because we are running for-profit businesses. You know, we don't want to be sent to the CSI department. We want companies that actually see commercial benefit in partnering with us. They see commercial benefit for themselves. If, of course, there is a benefit that advances their giving, like the example we used earlier around Lynn's project, where the bank was to get the commercial benefit, but at the same time, because they're already, you know, sponsoring or donating sums of money to green sustainability, they still get a benefit, even though, you know, it's not necessarily us coming to them from a CSI point of view.
Yes.
Great. Wow, guys. Today, you guys have been fire with your questions, eh?
I have one question before you go away. It's something that you mentioned on Monday that I think, if I understood correctly, you were saying something to the effect that if people give us money for our projects and they know the value of the project and their value is a lot higher than what we're thinking, although we haven't spoken about the language of the amount of monies that are required for the project, they may see us when we come to them as not big enough or able to handle the project. And I think that is something that happens to most of us a lot of time, especially when you're a smaller company and you go to a big corporate client and then they think, why is the small person coming to me and will they be able to manage doing this kind of stuff?
So my answer is yes. Yes, but let me just say it's yes, but yes, in the general sense. Oh, by the way, Ruth, I just got your message. I'm actually looking at my emails here to see. Sorry, guys, if you don't know what I'm talking about, because you don't know what I'm talking about. Ruth just sent me a message saying that she feels a bit left behind because she didn't get Monday's session recording. So I'm basically looking at my emails as well, Ruth, to make sure that you received this and I'll respond. So I noted your message, Ruth. But let me just quickly answer Salima's question here. So generally, when you sell things, this happens a lot in the sales environment where, you know, I'll use an example. One of my clients who's in the farming space just did a deal with a huge retailer. And this retailer said to him, you know, we've been looking to partner with Black farmers for a long time. But the problem is we are struggling to receive big enough volumes from these farms because they're too small. As a result, if we don't get big enough volumes, it affects what we can guarantee our customers. Because let's say you supply them tomatoes and you've got a small farm and then people love your tomatoes and then they want to come back to buy more of those and you've run out of stock of that type of tomato. The retailers don't like that. They want to be able to guarantee. If you remember before the lockdown, everybody was worried that shelves would be empty and the retailers were at pains to explain that, no, there'll be enough food. Even if there are long queues at Makro, people stocking up for the lockdown, because they, for them, that's important to make sure that they'll always have their shelves stocked. So in that sense, just generally, not just tomatoes or produce, anything. So I'm agreeing with what you are saying. That in most cases, it does worry companies when they think a company is too small to be able to fulfill a commitment or an agreement or whatever that may be. Now, let us look at why partnerships are great. Here's why partnerships are great for this. Because in most cases, some of the things we partner with corporates are at an idea phase. You will actually see this when we talk about over the next 3 weeks when I'm covering the conversations with these companies. So because it's a partnership, we want them to partner with us. So where we are lacking, that's where we want them to come in. So for instance, if we are lacking in terms of capacity because we're a very small company, we don't have enough resources to fulfill or to meet whatever it is that we are agreeing on that we want to do together with this big corporate, then it becomes a case of, from their side, if they really, really want to do this, it becomes a case of how do we support you? You know, like how do we make sure that we push you to be the kind of partner that we want you to be? So what I said on Monday was that it's not so much that they will think you are too small, because that's not really the issue for the most part in partnerships, as much as it is in sales. In partnerships, it's not really an issue that you're too small. But the issue in partnerships is that sometimes you can ask, let's use Lynn's example. We were talking about 1.2 million. And I said, don't include that. Because to them, once they've evaluated the idea and they're happy with what you're proposing, they may just say, well, we're already spending 200 million rand in, you know, in sustainability. Why don't we just give you 5% of that? And 5% of that, of 200 million is 10 million. And yeah, you came asking for 1.2 million. So there's that. Yes, another thing I said, which is kind of similar to what you just said, is, you know, asking for too little money, which may make them a bit uncomfortable because they think this project is bigger than what you're asking for. So it kind of worries them that, are you going to be able to do what you say you want to do, which is basically in line with what with your question. So there are a number of these reasons why sometimes hold back. And you will see when we do week 5 and week 6, you will actually see why, in the way we structure the meeting, you will actually see how we get to money in these conversations with them, how we get to what we want, in fact, how we get there within a conversation set up, you know, where in some cases they are the ones who will offer things without you even asking directly for what you need. So, I think you brought up a good point. So I agree with you, but I also had to bring in the sales element that just generally in sales, those types of things get rejected outright. But in partnerships, yes, if people like the idea, they will want to support you, which is the beauty of it. That's why I love partnerships. Love. Yes. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, guys. Jesus, we've been going for like an hour and a half. Do we still have any questions before we wrap up? And before I introduce our new members? No further questions, Your Honor. Okay, great. All right, guys. No, look, we've been at it for an hour and a half. Whew, you guys kept me on my toes today. Whew. I'm really hoping that everybody listening is getting a lot of value from the questions that were fired my way today. Because really, as I keep saying, these questions enrich the program. So on Monday, I introduced Christina, who joined us last week, and obviously her first group meeting with us was on Monday. You guys met Christina, and I mentioned that someone else was going to join us. I didn't say the name, and yes, I was talking about Zamani. Zamani just joined us this week as well. She's caught up, I think, week 1 and week 2. I haven't sent her week 3 yet. I'm going to be sending her actually before I close my laptop, before I go to play with the kids. I will be sending it to her right now. So she kind of got the Q&A without getting the meeting. It seems like Ruth, that's what happened to Ruth. So I want to introduce, I'll come back to you, Ruth, to deal with your query to make sure that we didn't make a mistake. So I want to introduce Zamani, guys, to you. Hey, Zamani, if you don't mind, can you unmute yourself? And you're unmuted. Just tell us what you do. I think this group would love to hear about your business. And yeah, over to you, Zamani.
Okay, well, thank you so much, guys. I'm really excited to be part of you guys. And so my name is Zamani, and I run an online English school. I'm very excited. I've heard so many businesses in here, and I'm thinking, what? Yeah, so I run an online English school. We are focused on providing English to students between the ages of 4 and 16. And we've seen, okay, so that's the main or niche market that we were aiming for, but we've seen a growth in, various parts of Africa where they take up English as a second language, and they've, adult learners actually that have engaged with us, and hence then I thought, then let me develop the adult side or the adult material that is incorporated or that is certified with the European standards of learning. Yeah.
Awesome. So what are you hoping to get out of the program, just so that people in the program know what you are kind of interested in? Because like I said earlier, you know, people here may have ideas, they may know people, and you know, yeah, we may introduce each other to people and that kind of thing.
Okay, so the main aim has always been parents initially, and so that's where we target, that's why we targeted social media, Instagram, Facebook, and stuff like that, and that's where most of our people come from, or rather our students come from. And then the reason why I came into this program, I thought, I know that there is a need for communication skills in the job sector, or rather in the corporate industry, and I would like to partner with corporate organizations to give off that skill.
Get you. Great stuff. Awesome. Well, welcome. Like I said, welcome to the program. And yeah, that's it from me. Any questions from you before we wrap up?
No, on my side, I was just really happy to just listen. I think I learned a lot, even just from this Q&A. Thanks.
Great. Okay, thank you so much, Somani.
Okay.
All right. So I will be, Somani, I'll be sending you your week three. I'll be sending it to you right now. So you'll get it in your email. So you'll be able to connect the dots, like some of the stuff we talk about, saying on Monday we said this, so you'll be able to connect the dots. Awesome. Okay, so the last thing, Ruth, coming back to your question. Not sure what happened, to be quite honest. I'm just gonna check, because how I send these, I've got a group on my CRM for all our members, for everybody basically on this. So all it takes is literally one click of a mouse and boom, all the emails go to everybody. And I send this on Tuesday, and I'm pretty sure, and I know you are in the group, but I'm looking here and I can't see your name, which is very, very strange. So I will send it to you as well right now with an apology, because it shouldn't have happened. You're not new. It shouldn't have happened. I don't know what happened. I'm going to investigate and see what happened. But I will be sending it to you right away. Okay, guys, that is that for today. I will, next week, we don't have a live session. Well, we have a Q&A on Thursday, but remember, week three is the only session that is live like we did on Monday. So don't panic on Monday thinking, do we have a session? No, we don't. From now on, we're just going to have our Thursday Q&As. So Monday morning, you will just check your email and you will get my email with the link to week four. So keep working, guys. You're doing a great job. Keep working. I'm so excited to be working with you, and I'm very proud of, you know, being part of this group with you guys. So let's keep at it. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
I think that's it. Good evening, guys. Good night, and take care of yourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.